very special events, special pastimes. And one of them is, this is the day that the Damodar Leela occurred on. Then, secondly, this is the day that Lord Krishna killed Narakasura, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And today is the day that Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya from exile. And this evening, 6 o'clock, 6 till 7, we will discuss about the return of Lord Ram to Ayodhya and different things surrounding that story. But right now, we will focus our attention on the Damodar Leela. So we will not chant, I think, a verse. This is the third canto, is it? Yeah, as usual. So what I'll do, in fact, I will read through some of the verses, at least in the chapter, and then we'll give some explanations as we go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, we will read then from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. And we'll begin with verse 1 and we'll read through various verses through this chapter. So, first of all, verses 1 and 2. Sri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Grihadasishu Yashoda Nanda Gehini Karmantara Niyukta Su Nirvamanta Swayam Dadhi Yani Yaniha Gitani Tadbala Charitani Cha Dadi Nirmantane Kale Smaranti Tan Yagayata. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued. One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna. And in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. And let us just read a few sentences, perhaps, from the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnav Toshani of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day, or Deepa Malika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik, by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. We may be kept awake tonight. Let's see how it goes. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. Yes, so, well, this is one of the sort of, what would you say, more light-hearted appearing aspects of this very deep transcendental pastime, that Krishna, Mother Yashoda, was very concerned, as mothers are, about their children. Mother Yashoda was very concerned that Krishna was developing a stealing habit. Can someone just collect those papers here so they don't have to just hold on to them? Yeah, because that's teacher. We'll continue with that tomorrow. Yes, Krishna was developing a stealing habit, stealing the butter, particularly the butter, but also other things. He would sometimes, of course, mainly he's known as Makanchor in this regard, means translates to butter thief, but he was also Dahi Chor. He was stealing yogurt, dahi. Yes, and he was stealing different things, but generally amongst the range of dairy products, but particularly the butter. Reason being that the cows in Vrindavan at the time Lord Krishna was there, at least, the cows were not just dumb animals, as sometimes it is put. They were fully developed people, just like this evening we'll talk about the return of Lord Ram, Mother Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman to Ayodhya, following the great battle at Lanka and the death of Ravana. So Hanuman is there, but Hanuman is not just like these cows, another dumb animal. Hanuman is very literate. In fact, not only is he literate, but he speaks Sanskrit. That was the common language in those days, like the people's language. And he spoke Sanskrit. Nowadays, our devotees, at least here in South Africa, from Hindi, North Indian backgrounds, or from any background, any part of India, it's not so common that they're fluent in the language which was sort of historically the language that their family spoke. Tamil, not so good. Okay. Hindi, could be better. not too bad. Depends what too bad is. So it's like that. It tends to be like that, at least. I mean, you do get people who are fluent even in South Africa, but they're not that common at all. And to speak Sanskrit fluently, that's another thing altogether. Just another thing. But Hanuman spoke Sanskrit fluently. And he's a monkey. So anyway, it's interesting. I was listening to a recording of, actually it's about the, what's it about? Pastimes of Lord Nityananda, in fact. But in it, there's a little part where there's a description of, it was Lakshman meeting maybe Hanuman, at least a group of five monkeys. And he just spoke to them, just like, you know, we meet people even we don't know the people, we don't know who they are, but we assume they speak. And so we just speak to them. We don't ask them, like when Radhanath Maharaj was first in Vrindavan before joining ISKCON, just as a young traveler, and he met Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and sort of became connected, became attached with to him and started moving around a bit with him. But Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj never spoke. He only chanted, at least at that time. And Radhanath Maharaj? It was either him or Govinda Maharaj. Do you know the story? No? Anyway, maybe it was Govinda Maharaj, but it doesn't really matter so much. So just sort of by sign language, you know, would you like something to drink? Just sort of, you know, like that. Somehow by indication, trying to communicate. And one day, there was something a little more complex to be expressed. So he said to him, Maharaj, do you speak English? And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj responded in a pucker, Oxford British accent, you know, I think I speak English rather well. Because he had some, you know, high-level university education in English language. So, but in this particular incident, Lakshman meets these five monkeys and he just speaks to them, who are you? And he says, I see you're from the monkey race. Yeah. I see you're from the monkey race. Who are you? And what do you want? Yeah. And they're monkeys. So, you know, life was different in those days. And the cows, getting back to our story here, the cows, they're fully developed beings. They're not just these stupid animals who just don't know what on earth's going on at all. Except when it's time to eat. So they're devotees and they loved Krishna. They loved Krishna wholeheartedly. And of course they give milk every day, even twice a day. They give milk. And the cows were thinking, we want our milk to go to Krishna. That's what we want. So, it's not specifically mentioned here, but elsewhere it is mentioned that therefore, all of their love went into their milk. And then the ladies would milk the cows. The ladies would milk the cows and take the milk. And, you know, some of it would just be had as is. But a lot they would convert into different dairy products like butter. Or say, first of all, yogurt, which would be churned then into butter. And then they would take cream, and they would take milk and curdle it, and make it into cheese, and then make all different types of cheeses. And then they would make buttermilk, and they would make just all sorts of things. And I'm sure they made Amasi Asakaya, is that the correct pronunciation? because that, I tell you, that's Africa's great contribution to dairy culture. Amasi asakaya, full cream. It's amazing. If you mix it with sugar and vanilla flavoring, it's from the heavenly planets. Okay. So the ladies did all this. The ladies milked the cows and then did with it all the different things that they did. And while they were doing that, all of their love went into all those different products. And we, as we have read, the logic is that to convert yogurt into butter is sort of the most difficult, or one of the most difficult, or the most difficult of all these processes of sort of milk conversion. So much effort has to go into it. It takes time, and as we're going to read, I think, yes, we are going to read in the next verse, that it's hard work. It's not just like stirring a pot of, you know, if you're making kheer or something, just stirring it so it doesn't stick. You got to work hard. And because it's such a major endeavor, therefore, relatively speaking, it's understood that the most concentration, the most effort, and the most love goes into it. Yes. Therefore, Krishna was particularly interested in the butter. Now, the yogurt, it's easy to make yogurt, but still you've got to bring it to a boil and take some effort, but not like butter. So Krishna was particularly interested in the butter, although sometimes the yogurt and sometimes the other things, because the love was there. And it's an interesting point. Srila Prabhupada makes the point that food cooked by non-devotees, particularly grain, foodstuff composed of grains, it's not advisable for devotees to eat that. Because particularly, but any food cooked by non-devotees, but particularly that which is grain, in that, when people cook things, then, just as the love of the of Mother Yashoda and the other ladies in Vrindavan was going into the butter and other products, and just whatever they cooked at home, so when materialists cook, and of course they are focused, and so some of them becomes invested in that whatever they're cooking. So, which basically means it's definitely not their love. Because, anyway, if anything, it's their lust. I'm studying the Russian, continuing for many years to study the Russian language. And one of the little I've got a program on the computer. We have to repeat different things they say, and there's pictures. So there's a picture of a lady eating, she's taken some rice out of a pot, and she's eating it from the cooking spoon. And the Russian says, what does it say? Женщина пробует рис. The lady is trying the rice. And I thought, just see, it's not offered. It's not offered. She's testing it, you know, to see if it's okay, which devotees don't do. Only after it's cooked. So, yeah, does it taste good? Is it going to satisfy my desire for sensory pleasure through eating? Yes. So, yeah, when people cook things, or even do anything, really, but Prabhupada's there particularly talking about cooking, then some of them enters into what they're cooking through their consciousness, through their concentration. And therefore, when you eat it, you pick up some of them, you know, whatever their qualities are like. And that's one explanation which is given by our acharyas for why Bhishma in the Battle of Kurukshetra fought against Krishna and the Pandavas. I mean, it's a whole, you know, there are many different factors actually, and it's not the main one, but it's one. Is that Duryodhana, even though he's like, he's the, effectively the king, at least he's the prince and he's the manager. He's managing the kingdom. But he had a hobby. His hobby was cooking. And he would cook regularly. And everyone would eat what he cooked. And Bhishma ate what he cooked. But Duryodhana, his consciousness was bad. Very, you know, aggressive, nasty type of consciousness. Prabhupada describes him as an empowered incarnation of Kali. Yeah. So Bhishma ate this. And as a result, and, you know, as I said, there are different factors, but one factor was, this was one factor which sort of brought his consciousness to that point that he didn't object to fighting even against his beloved Lord Krishna and his beloved Pandavas, who are more or less like his grandchildren. So this is why Krishna would steal the butter. Mother Yashoda, though, didn't understand it in those terms. She just felt a type of motherly anxiety that my butter is not good enough. So as Prabhupada describes here in the purport, in order to try to deal with this problem, Krishna's stealing habit, she took it upon herself to find the best cows. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000. That's a lot of cows. She selected, Prabhupada says, several. Several means seven or eight or thereabouts. The best cows in the herd, which gave the best milk. Then she personally went around Braj Mandala finding where the best grass was growing and personally cut it by hand and brought it every day and fed it to the cows every day so they would give the best milk, because if you're from a dairy farming background, you would know the quality of the milk depends on the quality of what the cows eat. Yeah. And we, you know, we had our farm up in Cato Ridge, and we had like 35 cows or something like that. And we would grow really good grasses for them. And the local farmers, they come around sometimes and see this grass, and they tell us, this is green gold. Because the cows will then produce more milk and richer milk, better milk, and you make more money. Anyway, we didn't sell it, we just used it. Hare Krishna. So like this, so then she would take from several cows. Every time you milk several cows, you should get 140 liters plus, 20 liters plus per cow, if they're good cows. And she'd make it into yogurt. Means you get like 150 liters of yogurt, or even slightly more. Then she'd churn it into butter, and then you'd get out of 150 liters of yogurt, you would get, it must be something like 15 to 20 liters of butter, kilos, and she'd just give it to Krishna here. Eat it. 15 or 20 kilos of this first class butter. And she'd think, okay, you know, I couldn't have done any better. This is the best. It's just the best. You don't get butter like this in the local checkers. This is the best butter. And hopefully Krishna will be happy. And Krishna, sure enough, would start eating. She'd come back in 5 minutes. Krishna was gone. He was next door stealing the butter. So Mother Yashoda had like an inferiority complex about her butter. Plus, real concern about Krishna becoming a thief. So life was going on like that. And as she was doing all of this, as the verse says, she was composing songs and singing them to herself, all about Krishna. Let's carry on. I'll just read the translations for some of the verses. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. Malati means, there's a variety of jasmine. You know which variety of jasmine it is? It is, I think we have malati growing. We have a few varieties of jasmine. Slightly fuller flower. It's the one the ladies use in South India. You've seen that? They make these things and hang on their hair. Really nice. So this is Mother Yashoda. And Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda and maternal affection for Krishna. Let's carry on. So she's churning the yogurt into butter. Krishna comes along. Krishna is three. In fact, he had just turned three on the previous Janmashtami. So it means like 2 months before, plus or minus 2 months before. So he's just three. And Krishna wants to drink her breast milk. So Mother Yashoda, well, actually she sits him down. You know, sometimes we hear that she was multitasking, churning, and somehow holding Krishna, and he was being breastfed. This, of course, is the Vedic standard. Children are breastfed. They're never just stuck on a bottle as quickly as possible so the woman can get back to work and earn money. But the mother looks after the child. And in this way, the children develop, you know, as at least it helps them develop to become proper human beings. If they actually get motherly love, like very focused, all day motherly love during their early years. So therefore the practice was generally children were breastfed up to the time they went to school, if they went to school, or otherwise up until they just decided they didn't want to do it any longer, which sometimes would be up to the age of 10. Hare Krishna. Interesting. Different from today. And Prabhupada describes that this was, when a child is being breastfed, then for the child this is like heaven. This is the best situation for a child. Being breastfed by the mother, there's nothing better. Playing, forget it. Being breastfed, that's the thing. So she's breastfeeding Krishna, and then this is in the courtyard. And she noticed then that in the kitchen there was a pot of milk which was just starting to come to the point of boiling and boiling over. So she quickly put Krishna down and just ran off to save the milk. And she saved the milk and had to deal with the milk, and it took some minutes to do that. And Krishna, from just the best, suddenly found himself abandoned on the floor, looking up at the sky. From the best to the worst situation for a child, just dumped by his mother. So Krishna became angry. Krishna became angry. And there's the description in following this. Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Being disturbed, in a disturbed mood. So Mother Yashoda returned. Krishna was not there, but there was this big mess because he broke the pot. And butter and half-formed butter and sort of half milk, half buttermilk, whatever you'd say, was now all over the floor. So she went to look for Krishna. By now, Krishna had eaten plenty of butter and he was distributing it to the monkeys. Prasadam distribution, food for life. And the monkeys had eaten so much by this point, it's because it's a few, some minutes later, The monkeys were refusing. I saw today as I was sitting in the temple looking across at the trees, just over there, this big monkey. My Lord, becoming like Vrindavan. But you got to watch out for the monkeys. Sure, they can be nasty. So there's Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys, and the monkeys refusing. And it's not described here, but elsewhere, I think it's Sanatana Goswami, one of our acharyas, describes how Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys, monkeys refusing, sees Mother Yashoda coming, feeling angry still with Mother Yashoda. Krishna turned and said, "Just see, Mata, your butter is so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it." And then Mother Yashoda decided, that's it, too much. She actually took a stick and started threatening Krishna with a stick. But she was just threatening. She was not intending to actually use the stick. So then Krishna ran, and Mother Yashoda chased her, because Mother Yashoda felt he needs to be corrected. We cannot allow him to, you know, they'd have so many exchanges, and Krishna might get a little sort of huffy, or, you know, something a little irritated with her, but nothing too much. And she would overlook it and not do anything. But now she thought she had to chastise him, discipline him for his own good. So she chased him. But she couldn't catch him because she's sort of a heavily built, more or less middle-aged woman, and Krishna's this agile, nippy little boy. He can just dodge around here and there easily. So she couldn't catch him, and she was getting into great anxiety. And her anxiety reached such a point that the way it's expressed is that it overflowed onto Krishna. And when her mood overflowed onto Krishna, that mood of loving concern, then Krishna could no longer resist. And she caught him. She caught him. And the description is, when caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. And, Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. So then she took some rope, and the following verses describe: piece of rope looks long enough around Krishna. Oh, it's 2 fingers too short. How could that be? More rope. And just one time around Krishna. Oh, it's 2 fingers too short. How could that be? Anyway, okay, more rope. Until she had really a lot of rope, hundreds of meters, and putting it around Krishna one time, it's always 2 fingers too short. What's going on? So, as this was happening, Mother Yashoda's mood of motherly concern was increasing again and again. So a verse describes here, because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Because her love had reached such a point, Krishna surrendered. As Prabhupada says here, so Mother Yashoda and her lady friends who'd come around gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus Krishna's internal energy yoga maya was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. And this is a very nice verse. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So, Krishna was defeated. Mother Yashoda's love overpowered Krishna. Krishna agreed to be bound by his mercy, and then he was tied up. Although the rope before had been two fingers too short. It's actually Sridhar Swami, one of our great previous acharyas, makes the point that the two fingers the rope was too short represent two very specific things. First finger, the effort of the devotee to serve Krishna. Second finger, the mercy of Krishna. Yeah, you could say his reciprocation with the devotee, but it's the mercy of Krishna. Those two things have to be there. Whenever we're trying to do any service, we have to make the effort, our best effort, and there has to be Krishna's mercy, not just one or the other. Not just, I will do it my way, because I am cool. I will do it and impress people. Look how he did it. And not just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. You want the battle fought? Well, you do it, and I'll take rest, and you wake me up when you've won the battle. Not like that. Not one or the other, but both. The effort of the devotee, best effort of the devotee, has to be there, from the heart, and the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, it just doesn't work in Krishna consciousness. But of course, notice, you see my two fingers? This is the effort finger, okay? Right. This is the mercy finger. You see, the mercy finger is bigger. You see that? Is it the same with you? It's the same. Yeah, this one, nearest to the thumb. Am I right? That's the way it works. So the mercy of the Lord, both things have to be there, but ultimately the mercy of the Lord is the main thing. It's the main thing. So then, let's read verse 20. This is verse 20. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who's always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Yes. Such an important verse. And the next verse is also very nice. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I can be approached only by devotional service and can be understood only in this way. That's the lesson we learn. I mean, there are many lessons, but it's the most relevant practical lesson for us as aspiring devotees, that the only thing which will really move Krishna and will invoke his mercy upon us is the sincere effort we make to render service. We are not on the level of real love, but that sincerity, that sincere effort to actually please the Lord without selfish types of interests, that is the beginning of love. That's the beginning of love. Although it's not love exactly, but if we work like that, trying to cultivate that mood, and we do our sadhana nicely and cleanse the heart and really do actually our best, this is the beginning of love. From this, love develops, or it transforms gradually into love. And this is what we can learn from this. Very important point, extremely important. Yeah. We shouldn't do business with Krishna. One for Krishna, one for me. One for Krishna, one for me. And if I get into a situation, maybe none for Krishna and two for me for a while, this sort of mood. That's more karma yoga. Making a specific effort to look after ourselves independently, along with doing something which is being offered to the Lord. But that's more like karma yoga. Whereas a devotee, the difference between a devotee and a karma yogi is that the karma yogi thinks like that, but the devotee is thinking everything for Krishna. Just everything for Krishna. And whatever he wants to give me, whatever it is, as Lord Chaitanya says, whether you crush me in your embrace, you reciprocate so strongly, you just sort of overwhelm me, or whether you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Apparently you sort of neglect me, but still you're always my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. So we need to try to cultivate this mood, which is strengthened by and facilitated by good sadhana, chanting very attentively, following the program, studying the books, associating nicely, and then trying to serve in that nice spirit. And let me close by just telling you a little extension to the story. I mean, there is more, but this is something you may not be aware of. It's described by Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu. Have you read that? You have? Oh, then you'd be familiar. That, you know, at the end, after Krishna's knocked down the trees, because he's tied to the grinding mortar, crawls the grinding mortar along the ground and gets stuck. But behind two trees he went, crawled in between, knocks over the trees, out come the demigods. He delivers them. Then who should come along next but Nanda Maharaj, and sees Krishna tied up. And Nanda Maharaj says to Krishna, "Who tied you? Why are you tied up? Who tied you up?" And Krishna's still very irritated. Krishna says, "It was Mata." And Nanda Maharaj says, "Why did she tie you up?" "I don't know." "No reason. She's just been nasty." And Mother Yashoda then comes, and Nanda Maharaj gets on her case a bit. But she explains. And then she unties Krishna. And Krishna immediately goes to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj says, "Go to your mother." And Krishna said, "No, I'm staying with you." And Nanda Maharaj says, "But I have to go out and herd the cows." You know, Krishna's just turned three. Krishna says, "I don't mind. I'm coming with you." And Nanda Maharaj says, "But you have to drink your mother's breast milk." And Krishna says, "No, I will drink the milk of the cows in the field." And Nanda Maharaj says, "But who will you play with?" Krishna says, "I will play with you." So Nanda Maharaj, you know, he's sharp. He knows what's going on. It's just, you know, this sort of childish with mother. It's part of these exchanges. Sometimes they get like that. And he knows that actually deeper down, Krishna really loves Mother Yashoda. It's just, you know, the circumstances. So in order to bring out Krishna's love, which is kind of disguised a bit at the moment, Nanda Maharaj adopts a very special strategy. He raises his hand and says to Krishna, "Shall I beat her?" And Krishna says, no, don't hit her. So again, his love for his mother comes out. I mean, incidentally, Nanda Maharaj would never hit his mother Yashoda. He would never really hit anyone. But this is just a strategy to stimulate Krishna. So then Krishna goes to Nanda Maharaj. And as they say, they all lived happily ever after. Hare Krishna. Any words of wisdom from Swarup Damodar Prabhu?
I have a question, Maharaj. I heard this, you know, the two fingers, one being longer than the other, a few times now.
Okay.
Is that like our transcendental sort of creativity, or it's from Samacharya where one finger was longer than the other?
Well, it's, as I recall, it's from Sridhar Swami.
That the one finger, or the longer finger, is Krishna's mercy. Okay. I mean, I've heard it in so many places before.
Oh,
that two think one is longer than the other.
Some additions, corrections.
I was just thinking about the Gopal Champu Maharaj, and how there's these narrators, Linga Kanta and Madhu Kanta.
Yes.
And they're describing this entire pastime. And then they're describing it to the residents of the spiritual world.
Right.
Nanda Maharaj is there, and Krishna is there,
everyone's there.
And then Nanda Maharaj asks, if these two got liberated, where are these personalities? Because we didn't see these personalities.
Nanda Kuvera and Nanda Grima?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they got liberated, so where are they? And not back to the heavenly plans, but back to the spiritual. spiritual world, so without it. And then very humbly these two narrators, they looked down and they said, you are looking at these two personalities. And this is why they were so expert in narrating Krishna's pastime. They witnessed it.
Good one. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki.